This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
The Tampa Bay Rays, they're defunct.
They don't exist anymore?
They don't exist anymore. I just decided
Red Sox?
Today. We should make a call and let them know, but I just decided they're out.
I would rather watch the painting guy. Who's the painting guy?
Bob Ross.
I'd rather watch Bob Ross than watch my favorite baseball team play in Tampa.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What a matchup. It is bracket season. What a matchup. Your favorite team playing a game in Tampa or Bob Ross painting a lake and a mountain?
Give me the lake all day long.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you with us here on a Tuesday. Nate Geary sitting in for Mike Shope today. I am the Bulldog and very pleased to welcome back in on the Wester Hotline a very much regular guest here, a staple, some would say. A few times a year, a couple times in the offseason, in season, of course, because the Bills play the Jets home and home every year. It is Dan Lubberfeld, Jets Whispers. Jets Confidential, he is on the Wester Hotline. Dan, I don't know if you know Nate. You probably have talked to Nate on some Saturday. Nate's been working the mines on the weekends for years here, but it's good to have you back on the show. How are things in New York?
I'm doing okay, and it's nice to be on with Nate as well. And, you know, I was interested. I know we have to throw out some love to the Wester operation, but the Paddock Chevrolet, 90 years? What kind of cars were they selling? That was fascinating. The Paddock Chevrolet's been around 90 years. So that would be 1935?
I'm going to assume they were selling Chevrolets back then, Dan. That would be my guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Great company.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So how, you know, I want to start with you is looking back on the last 2 years, the Aaron Rodgers experience with the Jets, like, are there takeaways? Like, what did we all learn? What did you learn from the experience of Aaron Rodgers, you know, being the figurehead that he is in New York for the Jets for two seasons, albeit only one actually being able to play?
Well, obviously the first year you had the torn Achilles, so that was something that was over before it basically started. But the McAfee show continued that year, and the McAfee show continued this year. And, you know, that's one of the talking points right now that contributed to the departure. I do think weekly shows by players can be a distraction. I know Parcells and Belichick were always against it with their teams over the years. I don't know what Sean McDermott's position is on that, but it's not helpful. But I'll tell you what, even with all the criticism of Aaron Rodgers for the comments he makes and the distractions he might cause, the bottom line is last season, the one that just concluded, the Jets lost seven games by an average of 3.6 points. If some of those games had gone a different way, what conversation would we be having right now? He'd probably still be with the team. So it shows you the fine line between winning and losing. And I wouldn't necessarily put Aaron Rodgers at the top of the list of reasons why they went 5-12 this past year. You saw that defense against Buffalo at Highmark Stadium. I mean, that was a bad defense. The offensive line was patchwork all year with injuries in and out of the lineup. And I don't think, I guess the big conclusion I come away with the last 2 years, especially this past year, is he's still very good, but he can't carry a team like he used to. He can't put a team on his back. He needs a supporting cast, and he didn't have a very good one with the Jets.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about that, though, is that it was thought, I think, when he got there, that that was all they needed. Right, we've got all these parts on offense. We've got Robert Saleh, and we've got this defense. All we really need is a quarterback to step in and be kind of middle of the league. And I don't know. It still didn't manage to come together and get a result. How realistic do you think it was at all? We know they're moving on now. It's official. Do you think Aaron Glenn, was there a puncher's chance in hell that they were going to bring Aaron Rodgers back with starting over with a whole new regime?
I don't think so. And I wrote a blog about this the other day, and I wish I had listened closer to Keyshawn Johnson, Keyshawn Johnson played with Aaron Glenn with the Jets from 1996 to 1999. And Keyshawn is now on FS1 on one of their debate shows. And he said right out of the gate, there is no way. And he made some reference. I remember the California towns he talked to. He said he would go streaking. Bulldog, you have to explain to Nate Geary what streaking is. Nate, do you know what that was?
No.
Yeah, that was people. What was that? Bulldog was probably before your time, too. Was it in the 70s? People would run around without their clothes on. It was like a
Frank
thing
the Tank. We're going.
Oh, Frank the Tank.
We're going streaking. Yeah. People Nate's age know it from.
Well, if you say
movies.
Frank the Tank, then I definitely
Frank the
know
Tank
what it
streaking.
Is. Yeah, yeah.
We're going streaking.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Anyway, continue, Dan.
Okay. So he said. So Keyshawn said, if Aaron Rodgers is back with the Jets this year, I'm just going to throw towns out there. I don't remember what he said. I'll go streaking from Malibu to Sacramento. Whatever he said. Keyshawn said it multiple times that there's no way that Aaron Rodgers is starting his tenure as Jets coach with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. And I should have listened knowing they're friends. And Keyshawn was so adamant about it. So, no, I don't think he had a chance. I think the logic is a little misguided. You keep hearing fresh start and turn the page and things like that. That's fine. We all know. If you don't have a quarterback in this league, and you guys all know about that stretch between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen in Buffalo, if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you could talk fresh start, turn the page all you want, and you could talk about Aaron Rodgers being a pain in the butt. But with him leaving the building and them going into quarterback never land, that's fine that you want a fresh start or turn the page. But let me give you an anecdote from the GM's experience. The GM, Darren Muji, I hope I'm saying his name right. I haven't met him yet. He was in Denver for a long time. And after Peyton Manning left, between Peyton Manning and Bo Nix, for about a decade, they were in quarterback never land. So I understand on some level the thinking as far as fresh start to turn the page. Mm-hmm. But when you go from having an answer at quarterback, even if it's for a year or two, to quarterback no man's land, good luck with that. How many teams could you guys just throw out there that have been in quarterback no man's land forever? The New York Football Giants, the Cleveland Browns. You guys could throw it out there. Chicago, mm-hmm. Maybe they have finally settled that, but we don't know. So they're going from a guy who I think can still play and had 28 touchdowns last year. And if that number sounds familiar to you guys, that's the same number league MVP Josh Allen had.
Let me ask you this, though, Dan. Like, if the decision was, hey, we're going to run it back with Rodgers for another year, we want to remain competitive this year and not necessarily, you know, break this whole thing down. Isn't there, wouldn't you maybe argue that anyone that's playing in the AFC East, I might even argue anyone that's in the AFC, if you don't have something that is ascending toward the top four or somewhere just outside the top four, Aaron Rodgers or Zach Wilson, they're kind of the same in that they aren't anywhere close to those guys. And the type of roster you have in order to overcome the hurdle that, you know, Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, and Burrow are, it kind of, I guess, makes sense is you'd rather swing – at an opportunity, maybe it's not this year, but next year, at a quarterback that can actually get closer or ascend towards those guys than it is running back, because all you're really doing with Rodgers is potentially hurting your draft stock for a season that actually does have quarterbacks in the draft, which is the 2026 draft.
That's a really good point, Nate, as far as Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you had talked about Aaron Rodgers 5-6 years ago, I'd say he's right up there with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. But he's not anymore, as we talked about before, that he was good last year. He wasn't great. And he can't put a team on his back anymore like he could during his MVP seasons in Green Bay. So, Nate, that's a great point, that they might be more competitive and they might go 9-8. But where are they really going with Burrow and Allen and Mahomes in the conference? However, the other part of it is, I totally get your point, is you might have a decade like the GM had in Denver. He wasn't the GM, but he was in the personnel department for 10 years. They were looking for a replacement for Peyton Manning, and Peyton wasn't even that great at the end. Mm-hmm. So you don't know. And Buffalo, how long was that stretch, would you say? You would know probably the exact number, but...
They went 17 straight years without making the playoffs and were hurting for quarterback the entirety of the time.
Yeah, and the 5 years prior to that.
Nate, I totally get what you're saying, Nate. Nate, it's a great point about Rodgers not being on that level with those guys anymore, but you're going from a guy who, and let's be honest, the game in Buffalo at Highmark was a debacle, but that first game, that was a good game.
Yep.
That Buffalo won. It went right down to the wire. Rodgers versus Josh Allen. And that, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to have close games with quarterbacks like that, at the very least, with whoever they turn to. One guy they could turn to is a guy you know very well, at least as a stopgap, Tyrod Taylor. And Tyrod's a great guy and a solid game manager, but his lifetime record tells you what he is, 29-28-1. He's a .500 quarterback.
And I think you probably, if you're a Jets fan or anyone in the organization, probably want to stay as far away from any player at that position that could potentially get you close to .500, because .500 to me is purgatory. It's where the Bills were. The Bills were never terrible in that 17-year stretch. There were seasons, 4 or 5 wins, but they were always just
7-9.
Yes, always just outside that like line of, I'm in the area where I can fundamentally change the future of our franchise, because they were a pick away from Cam Newton. And, you know, and Marcel Darius was the pick instead, and we know how that went, right? Or 2 picks away from Cam Newton. But I guess part of this has to be, is this owner really going to give this head coach and general manager the patience required to actually put them on the path that this team has been, you know, trying to find for how many decades now? Like, if they're going to say, like, they got to tear down the Jets, I think. There is a rebuild coming, right? Like a full-scale rebuild, right?
Well, this brings us to the point about whether we're grading them on a curve next year, and I refuse to do it. Because whatever you think of Aaron Rodgers, I view him as an answer next year. Like I said, I don't think he's Burrow, Allen, or Mahomes, but I do view him as a viable quarterback. He had more touchdowns this year than Patrick Mahomes. He did a lot of good things. There was utter chaos around him, let's be honest. So if you're gonna make the decision, the new Jets brass, to move on from him, you can't use that as an excuse. You made that decision. It's not taking over a team where they don't have a quarterback. You got to pick one in the first round. You go through the growing pains, and the fans and media understand. If you're throwing Aaron Rodgers out and you want to do a rebuild, that's your problem. But I'm not grading you on a curve, because you made the decision to move on from a guy who could lead you to some success to go into this never-never land. So as far as the patience with the owner, I think Aaron Glenn will have plenty of patience. If you notice that day, there was a Tuesday – and one of the insiders, that maybe Ian Rappaport reported, they're having a second meeting with Aaron Glenn. They don't want to let him out of the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means they wanted him as their head coach. He got out of the building. You know why he got out of the building? The deal was done the next day because Ben Johnson got $13 million from Detroit. And we all know these coaching candidates, they want to match the top offer. So I'm assuming the number hasn't actually come out, but I'm assuming Aaron Glenn's around $13 million a year for 5 or 6 years. So, yeah, the owner's going to have plenty of patience with him. As far as the general manager, I'm assuming because they had to pay Glenn so much that, and plus the GM was not a candidate other teams had on their hot list, so was not a hot candidate, is 39 years old. I don't think he's making big-time GM money, so he might not make it the whole time. But I think Aaron's going to be here for a long time with that contract.
Dan Lubberfeld, long time on the Jets beat, our guest here on the Western Hotline for a couple of more minutes. So what is the plan then at quarterback, Dan? Like, what do you think they should do? What do you think they will do? Are they going to be in the Kirk Cousins market? Are they looking to draft someone on day two or day three, or maybe even reach for a guy that, you know, isn't one of the top two in the draft? Like, what's the best course of action, you think, at QB for the Jets?
You know who would have been the best course of action for them long term is a guy that just re-signed with the Buffalo Bills, Mike White. They had an opportunity there, and I saw him his whole time from the practice squad to those games and that Cincinnati game where his helmet and shoulder pads went in the Hall of Fame, and he was AFC Player of the Week. I saw all that. And you got some pretty smart people running the Bills, and they brought him back for another year. Maybe he's the primary backup next year instead of Trubisky. They had their guy, but they didn't have the patience to say, you know what, at the end of that season, he didn't have a good offensive line, things were falling apart, whatever. No, they pulled the plug on him and moved on. I think he'd still be their quarterback if they had a little patience, but that's neither here nor there because the wise men running the Bills have him locked up for another year. But here's the thing about the current quarterback situation. They have a quarterback named Jordan Travis. You guys remember him well from Florida State. Was the ACC Player of the Year 2023. Had a horrific leg injury on one of those horse collar tackles. Or
Hip drop. Yep.
And he's still recovering. Now, if he gets back to his Florida State form, I could see a scenario where Tyrod Taylor starts the year. Tyrod is always willing to accept that hold the fort quarterback role.
Right.
So maybe Tyrod's hold the fort till Jordan Travis is ready, or maybe they also pick a quarterback in this draft and they have Jordan Travis and the rookie compete for the quarterback of the future situation with Tyrod holding down the position until either one of them's ready. I do think they'll bring in a veteran. You know, sometimes there's some sleeper that was a backup somewhere that a team really likes that you don't know about. You know, who was that guy in Philadelphia last year who played fairly well at a Stanford tall quarterback? Tanner McKee, right?
Okay.
I'm not saying Tanner McKee's going to be the Jets quarterback.
Right.
I'm not saying Tanner McKee.
Well, I know you're not that far off with Travis either. I mean, you're
scraping the barrel here.
Yeah,
Dan.
I think that's where we're at. Yeah. I mean, so you don't think like a big name?
There's not a Darnold reunion or then like nothing like that.
No, Darnold needs to stay right where he is. I covered him for 3 years, and Sam Darnold is in the perfect spot because Sam Darnold has all the tools. But that play caller in Minnesota is flat-out brilliant. And he would dial up unbelievable first reads and just great plays.
Yep.
If Sam Darnold goes somewhere else and is expected to be a savior, you guys can write it down. It's not going to work. He's got to stay in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins, I think he'll have his choices, and he might want to avoid this place. And the other thing with Kirk Cousins is when you're paying off Aaron Rodgers, I mean, there's a big cap hit here.
Yep.
You're going to be able to – I know they can spread it out over 2 years. But can you pay Kirk Cousins and deal with the cap hit of Aaron Rodgers? I'm not sure if that's doable.
Probably not. How impressed are you with the new coach, Aaron Glenn?
Well, you know, one thing in the opening press conference, the thing that's going to be different that they desperately need is there's going to be accountability and discipline. That's who he is. He was that way as a player. He was that way as defensive coordinator of the Lions. They just haven't had that in a long time. So he's going to hold players accountable. You know, that guy who dived on the pile, Michael Clemens, did you see that play?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work. And see, what happens is, and McDermott's great at this, it's like if you do something stupid like that, you're going to have a little chat with the head coach on the sideline, and you're going to have your butt on the bench for a few series. That stuff was not going on the last 3 or 4 years. Like, there wasn't that kind of accountability. Aaron will up the ante in the accountability and discipline department. I have to admit that after I watched that Washington-Detroit playoff game and Detroit's defense was so bad in that game, I know they had injuries, But even Tom Brady, who doesn't criticize anybody, was saying, why are they playing man-to-man? They should be playing zone with all those injuries. I was wondering if that would hurt his candidacy at all. That game was so bad for Detroit, but the Jets already had decided that he was going to be their guy. So I don't think he's necessarily the greatest X's and O's coach, but he will bring a lot of accountability and discipline. And if his coordinators can call the three sides of the ball and do a good job, I think he can be a good coach for them.
And how about the key guys on the roster here? Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. Like, is everyone stable? Is everyone comfortable? And do you get the sense that the organization is looking to build around these guys? Or is it, you know, new kings and they want their own people?
Well, buckle up for this Garrett Wilson situation, because I don't know what the Bills' organizational policy is with first-round picks, but for many, many years, I know when Joe Douglas was a GM, and he's taking financial orders from people above him, they would not do first-round contracts after the third year. They wanted to wait till the fourth year. So Garrett Wilson just wrapped up his third year. You see all these receivers getting paid. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Are they going to continue that organizational policy of waiting till the fourth year? If they do, you know you're going to have some bad blood this offseason, and I'm sure you're going to hear trade rumors about Garrett Wilson. Sauce Gardner, the same thing, just finished his third year. He was a little up and down. So I don't know. What is the Bills? You know what the Bills' organizational policy is about? First-round picks after 3 years. You know, obviously you have the fourth year of the rookie deal, you have the fifth-year option, and you have the sixth-year franchise pick, so you can use all that. What have the Bills done as far as, is it after the third year or after the fourth year of first round pick?
They've done some of each. I'm almost sure.
They signed Josh after the third year.
Right, that was easy.
There's not a ton of other examples of this regime. There haven't really been the first round picks to re-sign.
They are in a situation here, not with first round picks, although Rousseau is on this list, but he's going into year five. He's on his fifth year option, so they didn't do that with him. They did pick up the fifth year option, but didn't do a new contract with him. But there are four key guys here that are in this situation this year. Bernard, their middle linebacker. Benford, their best corner. Shakir, their best receiver. And James Cook, who's been making some noise about wanting a big contract. They are all going into year four next year. So we'll see. I don't know that they... I wouldn't say, like you're saying, definitively the Jets have had a policy. I don't believe the Bills have a policy, but... I don't have a long list of examples other than Josh.
Trey White? What about Trey White?
I think that was after the third year.
I think that was after the third year.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
All right. So I guess it's a case-by-case basis.
Right. Right.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be like a universal philosophy.
Well, here's the thing about paying the receiver. You look at the Bills. I know the Bills didn't reach the ultimate prize this year, but they moved on from Diggs. I'm just not sure. I'm not comfortable about you guys at that $35 to $40 million area we're entering now with the receivers.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees.
Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Obviously, you need receivers, but are they going to lead you to a championship?
Well,
lead you to a championship?
The timing is interesting for, like you're saying here, policy or not. I'd be worried about committing big money to a receiver when I don't have an answer at quarterback. I thought the same thing about Minnesota last offseason. Not that I thought that they would be eager to part with Justin Jefferson, but biting off that contract while not having stability at quarterback. I mean, they drafted a guy, and the plan was to ease him in, but he got hurt, and then Darnold and lightning struck, and there you are. So that really worked out for them. If I'm the Jets, I'd be worried because how long is it going to be before you answer the quarterback question? And I don't know what good having a $35 million receiver really does you if you've got a revolving door at quarterback.
Right. If you don't have an answer at quarterback, it doesn't really matter who you have at receiver. Look at the Chicago Bears last year. Now, Caleb Williams could turn out to be really good, but he was struggling as a rookie, seeing the field, going through his progressions, all that. They went out and got Roma Dunze. They got, obviously, they had DJ Moore.
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen. What difference did it make?
Right, they spun wheels.
Yeah.
So now Ben Johnson gets to try a kick at fixing all of that. Dan, we got to go. Thank you very much for all of this. I'm sure we'll hit you up again at some point in the spring or summer as we get closer to, spring and summer. Appreciate the off-season time, Dan, as always.
It's always great to be on the 50,000-watt WGR.
There you go. Dan Lieberfeld, our guest. Jets Whispers, Jets Confidential, longtime beat guy with the New York Jets. We will shift away from the Jets to our other favorite AFC East team, the Miami Dolphins. Marcel Louis-Jacques been on that beat for a while since he left Buffalo after being on the Bills beat for a few years with ESPN.com. That's coming your way right after this. Nate Geary in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR. Rolling along here on a Tuesday. Thank you for hanging with us. A quick little tour around the AFC East continues now as we welcome back in on the Wester Hotline former Bills beat reporter for ESPN.com, currently serving in that role with the Miami Dolphins, or for the Miami Dolphins for ESPN.com. He is Marcel Louis-Jacques. Marcel, it's great to have you on the show again. Nate's in for Mike today, and I know you guys go way back as well, so welcome in.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me.
So you're not like in your 70s yet. You moved to Florida on us. I'm kind of still kind of bummed out. We're all trying to get over it still, Marcel.
You know, I took a picture of the weather report today, not to rub it in, but I just saw, across the country, minus 18 in Billings, minus 14 in Kansas City, negative 4 in Chicago. And then there's Miami, and it's 83, and it was like, oh yeah, that's why I did this. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. We're not envious at all here. It feels like one of the longest winters we've ever experienced, but I guess that just is how it happens when you start getting older. So how are things with the Dolphins? What's the top of the news cycle in Dolphins world here, Marcel? Is Tyreek Hill going to be fine? Do they need to move on from him, or did walking back his comments during Super Bowl week sort of strike the right chord and everyone's on the same page now?
You know, the Dolphins didn't really have much of a plan to trade Tyreek Hill. Obviously, he and his agent walked that comment back pretty strongly over the past, we'll call it, month and a half. I think there is a world in which the Dolphins can sit down, the Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, assistant coaches, and have a real discussion about, you know, whether what their ceiling is as currently constructed, you know, with this much money allocated to the wide receiver position, you know, where can they go considering it has not resulted in a playoff win over the past 3 years, and last year didn't even result in a playoff appearance. So I think there's some serious questions, but they're going to look at that 2023 season where they felt like, you know, they were real contenders that just simply ran out of bodies at the end of the season. And I think that's the most likely occurrence as they try to recapture that form. But they do need to rebuild the offensive line. I think the big thing that we hear from fans every year is, you know, hey, Chris Greer, when are you going to address the O-line? And he's got this response that y'all are more worried about it than we are. And it bites him every single year. This year, I asked him about him after the season, and he admit, he's like, okay, yep, you're right. I'm concerned about the offensive line. We are going to have to allocate real resources to it this offseason. So it's going to be a rebuild. If Teron Armstead comes back, which is it sounds like that's his plan, they should return three starters with him, Aaron Brewer and Austin Jackson, who's coming off a pretty significant knee injury. I think it was a torn meniscus or MCL, one of the two. But it was significant enough that, mm-hmm. you know, no questions asked, he was out for the season. They're going to have to replace two guards. And, you know, if Armstead retires, then you're throwing Patrick Paul in there at left tackle. But I think we're seeing real resources being allocated toward that position here in the coming months.
You know, you alluded to the money spent on receivers with the big contract with Tyreek Hill and now a big contract with Jaylen Waddle as well. I never thought they'd sign Waddle. In fact, I thought if they signed Waddle, that would mean they were going to trade Tyreek Hill. And Nate and I just talked about this in the first hour of our show today here in Buffalo, Marcel, like what the Bengals are going through with Higgins, and they're going to franchise him and try to work out a long-term deal, and they still, of course, have to sign the best receiver in football, or certainly one of the very best receivers in football, in Ja'Marr Chase. And that just seems like a lot of resources to tie up with two franchise-caliber receivers. Miami's a year into it. Do you think there's buyer's remorse there? Like you said, they got to sort of assess where they're at. They've got a lot of assets deployed at one position there.
No, I think it's hard to say they would regret signing Waddle. Although that, you know, he's kind of that rare occasion over the past few years where they've re-signed one of their own. We've been seeing homegrown talent walk. Andrew Van Ginkle, yeah. Pro Bowler. Christian Wilkins, $100-some-odd million contract. Robert Hunt, Pro Bowler. All of whom, you know, did not get a comparable contract offer from the Dolphins, you know, last offseason. So bringing Waddle back, you know, I think they spent significant assets to get him. You saw when he and Tyreek are on, you know, that 2022 season where Waddle had, I think it was 1,300 yards, Tyreek had 1,700. I think they're kind of they're holding on to that. It's almost a nostalgia factor at this point. That was not the case last season. I don't, for whatever reason, if you want to say it was Tua's health, then sure. But Waddle's production has been dropping ever since that season over the past few years, and Miami is pretty intent right now on spreading the wealth around and, you know, employing more of a balanced offense, incorporating the short, intermediate part of the field, middle areas of the field. So now, in hindsight, it looks like, I don't know if our roster construction fits our current philosophy if you're the Dolphins, but I don't think that there's a lot of regret in rewarding a homegrown guy who's done things the right way. He stayed out of trouble. He works hard. I don't think that's a sense of regret per se, but You know, as Dan Orlovsky said, you know, in a warning to the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, when you sign and pay big money to two receivers and to the quarterback, you better be drafting extremely well, right? Like the Philadelphia Eagles, for instance. Big money to Devontae Smith, big money to A.J. Brown, big money to Jalen Hurts, and they nailed just about every draft pick you can hope for. So this is really a big offseason for Chris Greer, who, you know, he had sort of a full allotment of draft picks last year, but in 2022, 2023, he had 8 combined draft picks to work with. So there's not a lot of – and let's be honest here, he hit on one of them. He hit on one of them. He hit on Devon Achane. That's a hit. The other 7, only Channing Tindall's on the team. Cam Smith is on his way out at this rate. So like, this is a big year for him in the draft. Like in Indy and the pro day circuit, he has to hit on these draft picks here. He's got to find some guys who can contribute now and who can contribute on rookie deals for the next few years in order for this model to remain sustainable.
It's not just, Marcel, that like the model you're talking about them moving to, like what they're going to need for it. I look at like just the overall salary cap this year in 2025 for the Dolphins, and it's one of the more top-heavy rosters that I have ever seen in the league. I mean, 4 guys that are going to make $20 million this year, another 5 that are going to make double digits in the millions, and a back of the roster that I think what you're talking about is, I think this is the one area the Bills have been good at, is maybe they haven't hit those first-round picks, but they have a roster that turned over 6 captains last year and basically had their, you know, kind of starters in waiting behind them. And right now that is definitely not where the Dolphins sit, but a guy like Javon Holland, who's probably going to get a pretty big number in free agency. Like, is that even a conversation that the Dolphins can have right now, knowing that like they still got Bradley Chubb on a $28 million cap hit number coming off his 2nd ACL injury? That's not a restructure option. Like, you can't restructure him with an injury history. And so, like, how do you, if you're looking at this team this year, is Javon Holland going to even, like, are they going to even be able to get an offer into him?
They have to. They're not, like you said, they're not in position to let him walk. They don't have that on the roster currently. They can go and get a guy like, I don't know, Malachi Starks out of Georgia there with pick 13. That's a popular pick in the mocks, but you still have a hole at safety. That's the only safety you've got. You know, there's Patrick Morris, the 7th round pick from last year. They like him. I don't know that they like him as a starter in year 2. But on the other side, though, Javon Holland did not have a good season last season. He did not have a good year last year. Was not voted a team captain. No interceptions. This would be, you know, Anthony Reaver's going to stay put. So he's got back-to-back coordinators now, but did not mesh with Boyer at first. Did not really mesh with Vic Fangio's system. Pretty publicly kicked a pile of rocks in his hand after Vic Fangio parted ways from Miami. You know, very thinly veiled, if thin at all, just not veiled. There are some, so like, it's not like it's much of a slam dunk as we thought it was going to be after that 2021 rookie season when he was on pace to be, you know, a top 5 safety in the league. And I'm not saying he's not one of the better safeties in the NFL, but I do think this past year, and maybe a little bit in 2023, he played his way out of market-setting money. I know that they have offered him, you know, last year, and they weren't able to agree. They agreed to table it. I don't think he's a franchise tag candidate, so I wouldn't say that that's on the table. But I think both sides have a little bit of leverage here where, you know, if cool heads prevail and they look at this objectively, I'm sure that they can find a number. But, you know, I don't think Holland has I don't think Holland's play recently warrants high-end money, market-setting money. And I don't think that the Dolphins' roster construction warrants lowballing the one legitimate safety that they have. So, again, like both sides are coming to the table,
right?
You know, with their hands tied behind their back, or at least one hand tied behind their back. Let's hope, for their sake, that they can use the other one to shake and find an agreement.
Marcel Ouijak, ESPN.com on the Dolphins here on WGR for just a couple of more minutes with us. How is Mike McDaniel being viewed now? It felt like from, you know, our distance here, Marcel, like a rough ride for him this past year. Of course, the quarterback gets hurt, and that is going to, you know, provide a unique set of challenges, of course. But his inability to get much of anything done on offense without him in a league where the Browns last year played six quarterbacks and made the playoffs. Kevin O'Connell gets his rookie hurt in training camp, and here comes Sam Darnold, and oh, look, you know, Sam Darnold suddenly looks like a franchise quarterback again. Some coaches have gotten credit for working and working very effectively with backups, and McDaniel just could not find his way without Tua. How much, if at all, does that stick to him moving forward?
Yeah, I think it definitely bothers him, and I think there was a, there's a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for here, almost like not ego, but Skylar Thompson was his guy, drafted him in the seventh round, they threw him into the fire as a rookie. He almost went up to Buffalo, beat the Bills in a playoff game, maybe a missed. A drop pass, a couple drop passes away from making things really scary for Buffalo, I think. But he just simply did not get the reps as in year two. Matter of fact, he didn't play at all in year two. And while I understand their logic in saying, he took more walkthrough reps than anybody, unfortunately, for a guy whose number one issue was his processing speed, doing things at a walkthrough pace repeatedly doesn't really help you that much. And it looked like it in Seattle. He looked like he was running things at walkthrough pace still. He was processing things at a walkthrough pace, and they were not prepared beyond that. And that just, it simply tanked them. Now, Chris Greer did admit that they were in the backup quarterback market in the offseason. They had a couple guys, at the last second decide to go elsewhere. He wouldn't put names to the claim, but, kudos to them for trying, but it didn't work. They didn't have a guy in place. So I think that's another one right after offensive line is making sure you have a legitimate backup in place. Tyler Huntley dazzled against the Cleveland Browns and then fell flat against the New York Jets in a must-win game the next week. And I think he had more instances of being disappointing than he did popping. So I don't think that he did enough to warrant getting the job next year, kind of handed to him. It's not his job to lose at the very least. He could still probably go win it. But that is something maybe whether it's through the draft or through free agency, they need somebody. Because at this point, I've had a former GM tell me, guys don't get healthier the longer they play. The older they get, it's not like they get stronger unless you're Tom Brady, which, respectfully, Tua is not. And at this point in his career, Tua has missed games to the extent that you need a high-level backup in the event, the unfortunately likely event, that he misses a couple games. So that is, again, right under offensive line, adding a legit backup quarterback is priority number two. Hubris was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I thought so. I didn't want to jump on. We don't know each other that well, but I thought hubris was where you were going.
I was like talking myself around a dictionary. I did two things at once right there. I don't think people have realized how impressive that was. Different places, that entire segment.
You were just talking, but really trying to search the anals of your brain to figure out what that word was.
Everything made sense, yeah, Marcel, just so you know.
Welcome to radio, Marcel.
That is autopilot for you, man.
Hey, I got one more before we let you go. A quick one. I mentioned earlier Bradley Chubb. Him and Jalen Phillips both coming off, Chubb's injury happened 2 years ago. But where are the Dolphins with both of those players going into this year?
Well, they picked up Jalen Phillips' fifth-year option, so he's going to be playing on that. Bradley Chubb was at a place where he was not healed enough to play and force somebody out at the end of the season, because you can't just bring somebody back. Somebody else has to go. And so from their perspective, he wasn't back enough. He wasn't ready enough to warrant taking somebody else's spot. And I think Bradley Chubb understood that. So, but they do expect him to be a full go this offseason. This is not a situation where Chubb is still having to rehab. the injury, I think he is, he's good to go. They're ready for him to be back. Jalen Phillips is already freaking running, dude. So, like, he wants to be back by training camp. That much I could tell you. Whether he will be, different story. Team's obviously going to have to protect him from himself to an extent as well. But they expect both these guys to be available. And then Chop Robinson, who, look, man, like, I love a good victory lap just as much as the next guy. So I'm going to take one here. Dolphins fans were so disappointed by this kid based on his first 4 weeks. And I told people, just be patient. The light is starting to come on. He's not finishing, but he's getting there. And that's something that we saw a lot from Jalen Phillips, too. That's the next best thing. Sacks aren't the full story. And then the sacks started to come. The pressures started to come. The tackles for loss remain. The QB hits remain. The guy, it looks like a future star, especially with that explosive first step. So if he continues to build, he continues to take a step forward, this could be, and you know, a lot of ifs here, but Chubb and Phillips returning to full health, especially in Chubb's case after, I mean, this is almost a year and a half, 2 years off, they could have a formidable three-man pass rush.
Yeah, I agree with you on Chop Robinson. He as the year went on, he became more and more of a force, and I think is someone certainly that we're going to be keeping our eyes on here a couple times a year. Marcel, thanks a lot for this. Yeah, it's great to catch up.
Appreciate you.
All the best, and hopefully we get a chance to visit again sometime over the summer.
Absolutely, man. Y'all know where to find me. Appreciate you having me on.
It is Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com Dolphins beat guy. Spent a couple of years here in Buffalo covering the Bills for the same outfit. Nice to catch up with him. We are super duper late. We'll take a timeout here. Nate Geary's in for Mike. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR. Like, oh, the music's playing. I'm at work. Gosh, sorry, I don't know. We were just talking here, the three of us. Like, oh, yeah, the show.
Oh, that's right, we do. Yeah, that's,
we got something to do. We got to do what we were just doing, except with the microphones on and the headphones and the Twitch and all the stuff. The Twitch. 803-0550 is the number. We're wide open the rest of the way here. So here's what I want to do with Nate coming up after the break, because we gobbled up a bunch of time in the last hour talking Jets and Dolphins with Dan Lieberfeld and Marcel Louis-Jacques, respectively. Pecking order on extensions for the for the four, right? I mean, there's other business the Bills have to do and tend to, and, you know, restructures and releases and whatever. But I think Bernard, Benford, Shakir, Cook, all ready for contract extensions. Urgency is where, at what level on all four guys. We know James Cook is certainly trying to affect the urgency from his end. Nobody else seems to be making any noise, but we'll get into that and prioritize them as we go through into the next hour. And if you want to join in that conversation, you got a preference on those four dudes I just mentioned. Again, Shakir, Benford, Cook, and Bernard are the four guys, all 3 years in, all eligible for extensions, all look to be, to me, guys that you'd want to keep around on your team. It's just a question of price points and, you know, figuring that out. We'll get into that as we move into the 5 o'clock hour here. 803-0550, again, is the number. Nate Geary in for Mike. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.